What does it mean to bring our whole selves into the world? To give ourselves the gift of unconditional acceptance? Join me as we learn together. I'm Jorgen Salvis, and this is Unshaming. Hey everyone, this is Jordan, and this is a very special episode of Unshaming. I actually brought one of my very best friends in the whole world onto the show today. Her name is Nicola Cranage, and I brought her on to help me answer the big question: what the hell even is Unshaming? In this episode, we talk about the origins of our friendship, we talk about the origins of Unshaming, and we try our very best to unpack the concept of what it means to embark on your unshaming journey. Nicola is not just my best friend, but she's also the host of a badass podcast called Bad Behavior, based out of Australia. She's also the director of community development at the Women's Safety Services of Central Australia. I am so lucky to have a friend like her. In our friendship that has lasted years at this point, we have cried our eyes out together, we have pissed ourselves laughing together, and she has honestly been such a pivotal part to my unshaming journey and helping me to heal, helping me to realize my self-worth. So I'm so happy to share a piece of our beautiful friendship with you. This is the unshaming journey.
Hello, hello. There we go.
Okay, so I guess we'll just kind of riff off a little bit. Let me check and see my mic feed.
Is mine okay? Okay. Can you check
mine? Oh, yours is fucking perfect.
Okay. Why don't you do the intro and then introduce me, be like, hi, I'm here with my friend Nicola, and we're going to have a or should I just go straight in? Let's do this.
Okay, should we tell them how we know each other?
Oh, we should. Let's tell our origin story.
Oh God.
We met in college. Jordan and I have been friends.
How many years ago? I'm scared to actually.
That's what I'm trying to think of. We met like second year of college, right? Sophomore year.
2014.
Whoa. We've been at it for a while. Look at us go. So I think I met you through like mutual friends, and I remember this.
It was love at first sight.
It absolutely was. Like we were drawn to each other, and you were like one of the most intense people I've ever met, because you would like make such heavy eye contact during conversations, and like you had all these questions, and like you just were fucking delightful to be around. We had lots of fun. We were like definitely the cheekiest people around. Like we were troublemakers. Absolutely. We caused a lot of troubles. Jordan
pranked.
Jordan was very good at hiding it. Like I feel like you're a troublemaker, but you were like
in disguise.
You also had your shit sorted. I was a troublemaker who had none of their shit sorted, and unfortunately was like spiraling at most moments into chaos. So
well, babes, look at you now.
Exactly.
Like
it was just such a wonderful experience. One of those rare moments where you like meet your
soulmate.
Your absolutely. Soul is just like completely nourished with being around this person. So but I think a friendship built on like all these adventures as well is so beautiful. Like when you're so far away from people, it's hard to keep in contact. It really is, but we've managed to do it somehow. Well, so why don't we talk about how our friendship kind of led to these creative projects that are quite entwined as well. Like I think we've always been creative people and like really passionate about working in spaces where there's a lot of connection, which is like Exactly.
And where we can express ourselves.
Exactly. And that's, you know, we both have podcasts now that we've built on this ability to like connect with people and make them feel good and have them tell their story in like a safe way. And then, you know, going, undertaking a journey ourselves with the lessons that they bring. And I remember I was thinking back when we were talking on like unshaming in its very first iterations, like when you started.
We were in Ibiza.
Yes, we were, which makes it even more exciting. And then you had this like just the beginnings, like these seeds of this idea, and you were so excited.
Like, I was working in corporate America at the time, and I had heard about this fellowship with Stitcher, actually, where you could basically, they were taking on people who had no audio experience. And this was back in 2018, to come onto their team, and they'd choose one person and you'd get this amazing experience, basically, you know, ready to join the audio industry. So the catch in the application was that you had to pitch a show.
Mm.
So I was racking my brain on what I wanted to do for so long. And I always knew I wanted to do something with truth. That was sort of the big thing in my life at the time, because I had just moved out to San Francisco and I was so lonely.
Mm.
It really kind of forced me to confront parts of myself that I couldn't hide from anymore. And something that was so important to me was expressing myself in this way. I wanted to do something that encouraged people to live in their truth. As we were kind of working through the idea, I was like, shame.
Mm.
It was just so perfect. It was connected to everything in my life, my experience. Actually reflecting on how the show was born was sort of the lead up into understanding that how I overcame my shame has really defined who I am, I think, and is such a defining thing for everyone. And that's really what I think unshaming is about.
Yeah, I think it's why it resonates with so many people as well, because you can come at it from, everyone has this basic human need.
Everyone is ashamed of something.
Exactly. And it's such a prevalent part of our life. And when you start picking apart the pieces and like kind of reclaiming parts of yourself back from this big cloud of shame, it really is a powerful process. Could you talk about like what the unshaming community is like and what that bit of it's been experiencing these like incredible stories has been like for you from that community?
I always say that, and this is what Brené Brown says as well, the opposite of shame is belonging, because shame is really the derivative of loneliness. My definition of shame is just unlovableness. It's not a word, but it's an unshaming word. It's a George Orwell word. But basically, you know, to be ashamed of yourself means deep down, and this, so many people think they don't feel this, but when you really think about it, it's something that almost everyone experiences. It's a feeling that you're unlovable. And that experience, that deeply painful experience of feeling unlovable, is what makes you feel so lonely. The opposite of that would be belonging. And that's really where community comes in. And that's where, why community is so important to the unshaming process. And almost every single guest that comes on the show talks about how community ends up becoming a huge part of their unshaming story. The whole thing sort of was born out of my desire to unshame my own life and realize where I come from and who I come from and what I come from, and try to find ways to be proud. I remember when I was thinking of the show, I was like, what questions am I trying to answer? And I have a document and I recently looked at it, and it was like, how do you be happy? And how do you learn to love yourself? And what does it mean to seek validation from within yourself as opposed to from other people? And these were the questions of my soul that were really driving the whole podcast. And, you know, selfishly, it was really created to help me figure out who I am. And so when listeners of the show started resonating with that and telling me that they were answering those questions through the show, that's really powerful. And I think it's kind of turned into something way bigger than I thought it would be initially.
That's so beautiful. Because I think when you're putting out stuff in the universe and, like, you never know how people are going to digest it or take it, and that's kind of out of your control. Like, you just go with your gut and you make something that you're really happy with. So to have this beautiful experience where it's resonated so deeply with other people, that is just so life-affirming. Like, that must feel really lovely. Do you have any conversations that stand out to you as being the ones, like, the highlights of unshaming for you? And could you share why they're so important?
One that was really, really just life-changing for me was the one on sexual abuse with Shanti. I had kind of gone back and forth for a while on whether I wanted to do the episode because I'm not a survivor of sexual abuse or any kind of sexual assault. And so I didn't know whether I would be the right person to do the interview in the first place or even have that platform in this forum. But eventually I did decide on doing it because I think part of what unshaming is just bringing these kinds of things to light. And unfortunately, they fester and they grow in the darkness. And so I did a lot of research for that. And one of the videos that I came up on was this incredible, incredible episode of The Oprah Show. Her whole audience is filled with men who have been sexual abuse survivors. And Tyler Perry comes on. He's one of the guests, and he reveals that he's had some abuse as well in his life. And he and Oprah are kind of talking to each other, and they say this line. They say, you know, I realize that forgiveness really has nothing to do with the other person. Forgiveness is accepting that the past could not be any different. And that was fucking mind-blowing for me. I was like, oh my God, that's everything. It, like, challenges this idea of closure as well that we have in our society around, like, I need information from you, the person who hurt me, in order to move on and in order to heal the wound that you caused. And I feel like that one sentiment, it gives so much, it empowers the person so much. And we talked about that in the episode on how when you step into that power, that's really what unshaming is all about.
That's such a interesting perspective to look at it through, the lens of forgiveness. Because you are, you know, that's the power of shame too. Like, it does make you feel like you could never forgive yourself. You know, it can sometimes feel a bit futile to unshame yourself because then you still are existing in a society that holds so much shame towards you, particularly for something like the, you know, episode with Shanti was talking about. So I think that such a powerful conversation, and, like, taking a bit more ownership over how you can forgive yourself.
I do also want to say there are a lot of people who don't resonate with unshaming, and there are a lot of people who say to me, you know, I appreciate the show and I appreciate what you're doing, and it's so cool that people are sharing their stories, but I don't really get it and I'm not really ashamed of anything. And that could be true, but I also think there's a part of it that's like, it's so easy for people to say that I'm not ashamed of anything, because that would mean that you don't have to hold yourself accountable for anything. And you don't have to be responsible for the way that I'm still kind of working through some of these ideas, but do you know what I mean?
It makes complete sense to me. And I think it can be really confronting for some people as well. Like when they're accessing these episodes of people that are telling their stories so bravely, and there's so much self-assurance, and like if you're not ready to hear something, you're not going to hear it, and you're going to be defensive about it. And I think the accountability thing, like that is so big, you know, being accountable to.
It's hard to be on your unshaming journey.
It's really hard. It feels really uncomfortable.
I think that, you know, it's really not easy to be on your unshaming journey. It's hard for people to relate to a lot of the shows, a lot of the episodes that we do on the show, because that would mean that you would have to look at your own life and you would have to think to yourself, where have I been mistreated for being who I am? And how have I mistreated others for being who they are? And that's really painful work to do. And I think some people just aren't there yet. And I guess the purpose of me talking about it is also to sort of state that that's part of the unshaming journey too.
Yeah, you don't have to be ready for it. As you know, when a new episode pops out, you don't have to, if it's something that you're like, oh shit, that lives really close to my chest right now, I don't feel ready to hear other people talk about it quite yet. The podcast that I do, we talk about that a lot, like meeting people where they are. You know, you don't, if you're not ready to unlearn something or to learn something, it's not a space where we're putting pressure on you to do that, because that's the power of having these uncomfortable conversations, is that you need to feel ready to have them. And then, you know, there is an accountability bit there too. Like if you are stuck in a cycle where that shame pops up, like it is really intense to contend with. Like,
well, let's talk about that for a moment, because I guess, you know, we're sort of beating around the subject, but I think a lot of our shame culture derives from toxic masculinity.
100%.
It's everything, I feel like, you know, for a man to, from a very early age, and for all of the ladies listening to this, or really anyone who has a partner who's a man who is completely emotionally unavailable, you feel anxious when you're with them, they're checked out sometimes, please understand that this is not particular to them. This is kind of a disease that we have in our society. It's rampant. And I guess I probably sound crazy right now.
You don't sound crazy at all. And I think
everyone knows some sort of man in their life like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's what it wants you to feel. Like with what you were saying, like in terms of relationships and having a partner who's emotionally unavailable, like.
Or a father.
To unshame, to lead with vulnerability, we're really contending with like big things here. There's no intention from a lot of these men to unlearn, and it really frustrates me. I think like women.
Well, and the stakes for them are, you know, kind of high in some ways. It's basically their entire identity is based upon a fragile.
Oh, it's so scary. Like I cannot. It must be so. I remember this one particular.
I'm not a man if I cry. I'm not a man if I.
It is just devastating.
Express myself.
It's so devastating. And like, I remember being out one night at a bar, and like, I was having this like drunken conversation with this man who was a father, and his partner was there, and it was one of their first nights out after they'd just had a baby. And I remember him so clearly telling me, he was like, you know, I recently just started therapy, and he was like, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, because, you know, to say that I wasn't okay to someone else, like as the breadwinner, as someone with a child, like it felt like the worst possible thing he could do. And like, you know, that story, men have a lot of trouble asking for help. And so linking it back to what we were talking about with this, you know, defensiveness and maybe people not relating like to this unshaming journey, like
to go on your unshaming journey can sometimes mean deleting everything you've ever known about who you are and starting over.
Yeah, and maybe you're not, it's not safe for you to do that. Maybe it doesn't feel good in that moment for you to do that. And that's so fine. I don't think there's like a prescriptive thing. If you think someone needs to unlearn their toxic masculinity, I don't think it's a case of being like, you need to unlearn your toxic masculinity. Like, they're probably not going to respond to that. It's very unlikely. And I think it's the same, like, you know, if you have a, you've done episodes about mental health and eating disorders. And if you were to go to a friend who's in the middle of that crisis and that worldview and be like, you must unshame right now. It's like, it's the intention.
That's
right?
Such a good point. That's such a good point. And I think this goes into the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is like accepting people for where they are on their unshaming journey, which is something I actually have a really hard time with myself.
Yeah, you're projecting like the moment that you're at onto them because you,
exactly.
And it's also, it's that classic yes, thing exactly. of like, you know, I want what's best for you. I love you so much.
Here, I see your potential.
Exactly. Here's everything I would do. Do it. And it doesn't feel the same in their brain. It feels like, you know, something completely different when it's received on the other end. But
and for folks in relationships, sometimes we confuse the word acceptance for settling. And I guess let me start by saying this. We can't be together if you're not on your unshaming journey. We can't. We can't. Valid. Because if you're not unshaming, you can't give me the self-awareness. You can't give me the communication. You can't give me the emotional availability.
And that's okay. Like, someone doesn't have to. If yes. they're not ready to give you all of that, and the reality is, and this is the thing that we probably should mention as well, like 100% you will, I think, lose some relationships when you engage yes. in that unshaming work, because it really
illuminates.
And those fundamental core values things, like, it's not, you know, for me, I think there's like no separation between, like, in terms of the personal and the political. Like, I need to know someone is on the same page as me in a friendship, in a relationship, in terms of those core values. Like, I want someone
values.
Who's engaging in anti-racism work. I want someone who's working towards gender equality and will call out moments of toxic masculinity. Like, I want someone who's unlearning fat phobia. Like, those are the basics. Like, I don't feel like I'm asking for much, but
right. And I
still
think,
single,
you know,
so like, maybe I am.
Me too.
We're like on our fucking high horses being like, bring us the unshaming goods.
Well, you know what I was gonna say is you're touching on something really powerful, babes, here, which is like, I think that sometimes we have this idea that when you accept someone for who they are, you're settling. You're accepting their inexcusable behavior. You're accepting their inexcusable actions, when really accepting someone for who they are sometimes means you saying, you have no place in my life based off of where you are on your unshaming journey, and that's okay.
And see, and look at all these massive implications, you know, like, it's not, when you talk about it in the bigger picture, it makes so much sense why people might not be ready in a moment, or like, you know, how making this podcast has ripple on effects for people's lives. Like, it's not, you know, let's not minimize the power of these conversations, you know, like mm-hmm. they are, again, going back to those stakes, like, the stakes are quite high for unshaming, because it's, the claws are in every part of our identity. Those
safety.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the loss of a friend because you've decided to unlearn stuff is heartbreaking. It really doesn't. And, you know, your brain is going to attach, you know, clutch onto that and be like, see, that's why we don't talk about those things. Like, that's why we don't engage in that work, because you lose people and you're going to be forever alone. And it's scary.
as I've talked to so many unshamers who have come on the show, so many people have revealed to me that some of the most foundational relationships in their life, of their life, have come into question as they've learned more about themselves, as they've started to unpack the shame. Sometimes your parents and your siblings and your family are the ones that are responsible for perpetuating your shame.
We'll be right back. These days, most of us are running a mile a minute between work and school and side hustles and trying to squeeze in a workout. By the time I get home, I'm exhausted. So the few hours I have to spend asleep in bed are sacred. I want to feel comfortable and cozy and rested. So I upgraded my linen to Brooklinen. Their soft, buttery sheets have me waking up feeling so recharged. So go check them out. Head to brooklinen.com and use promo code UNSHAMING to get $20 off your purchase of $100 or more. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code UNSHAMING for $20 off your purchase today. Brooklinen, the curators of comfort.
So this is what I want to know, right? From that sentiment, how have your relationships and like the way you walk about the world, how has that changed since making a podcast like Unshaming?
So much. I used to be someone who was so uncomfortable with disapproval. And in a lot of ways, I still am. I think that growing up when, you know, and everyone out there who's a people pleaser, raise your hand. Nicola and I are raising our hands right now. But for us people pleaser folks, that disapproval is so powerful for us. It can literally drive our decision making. Someone's disapproval over who we are. You know, that societal disapproval over me and being gay was what kept me in the closet for years. And it's what keeps people from being who they are for years. And it doesn't have to be coming out. I mean, we've had so many episodes on the show on growing up low income or recovering from an eating disorder or being diagnosed with a terminal illness. Everyone is ashamed of something. And something that has really helped me is sort of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and speaking up for ourselves and being direct about our feelings with people and how they treat us or how they don't treat us in the ways we want to can sometimes be so hard. And, you know, I find when I'm in relationships, I remember my very first relationship when I was 20 years old. It was so hard for me to say, hey, you know, that actually doesn't sit well with me. Even if I didn't agree with it, because I would rather choose compromising on my values than being invalidated and experiencing the disapproval. And I feel like there are a lot of people who probably relate to that. And as I've grown older, I have had to force myself to be more confrontational and more direct about where I am. And I'm kind of learning about this in therapy, but it's this idea of abandoning myself and betraying myself. And I think when you allow yourself to, I'll speak in I statements, when I allowed myself to be silent in order to accommodate for someone else's comfort, even when it compromised on my values, I realized that I was abandoning myself and I was betraying myself. And that is, I think, at the essence of what unshaming is. It's this idea that no longer am I going to betray myself. No longer am I going to abandon myself. And so, you know, as it pertains to conversations with my family members and setting boundaries, as it pertains to conversations with my partner, with my friends, I've had to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And in that moment, you know, I think someone like me, I am so fearful of like awkward pauses in conversations. I'm so fearful of people feeling really uncomfortable, and I never want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. But the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that sometimes standing up for yourself means making people feel uncomfortable. And sometimes you just have to sit in that awkward moment, and it's like, sorry, is what it is.
I love you that. Know, yeah.
You'll realize that people who use disapproval as a tool to avoid difficult conversations, it's really their avoidance of accountability. Suddenly that person's like, oh.
I want to give people credit though for how intense it is to be called out on something. Like, I think power to the people who call out and power to the people who get called out and react in a way that's like not defensive and not like blamey and not nasty. Like, because I am such a defensive person. Like, you give me an inch of feedback, a tiny sprinkle of feedback, all my defenses are up. I'm like ready to fight. You know, like, I'm like,
where do you think that comes from? Because I think a lot of people listening to this would relate to that. And I relate to that in certainly particular contexts for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's the unlovable thing. Like, it's shame, you know, I'm scared that through receiving this feedback, people are telling me that I'm bad, that I'm one of my, you know, key discoveries in my lifetime is this, like, I have a very deep desire to be seen as a good person, to get feedback in a way that's where you take it on board and you acknowledge the bravery of someone to give you that piece of feedback. And like, and then you look at yourself and you think, okay, so I've gotten this piece of feedback, or I've been called out on this. Like, how can I integrate it into my life? Like, it is so powerful and like uncomfortable, but slowly just trying to get back to that place of like, you know, I want people to feel safe to call me out. Like, that is my commitment on my unshaming journey. You know, like, I, as a white woman, I always want people to feel okay to pull me up on stuff. Like, that's part of my fucking job. Like, I need to not create a space where I'm defensive and volatile and nasty about stuff that I don't know, you know. Like, it goes back to the deep listening. It goes back to everything we've been talking about. But, you know, I just want to assure people that, like, if you're feeling that intense fight or flight, and like, it just feels so, like, I can't even describe the body feeling to you. Like, it's icky.
It's like being attacked.
Yeah, your whole body feels gross and like, oh, it just doesn't feel good. And like, if you give in to that feeling sometimes and you just have to run away, that's so chill. It doesn't mean the next time that you can't, like, because, you know, with you talking about sitting in those uncomfortable moments, it got me reflecting on like how I now know how my body feels when I'm sitting in those moments. Like, I've done it enough and I've pushed myself enough to be vulnerable that I know the body feeling of it now. And so my body's feeling it, I can just be like, okay, sit tight. You got this. It's okay.
Well, now that we're in this space in the conversation, I think I'm feeling a little bit self-conscious about kind of how angry I was talking about it earlier, because I think I'm on my unshaming journey. And I think that what it means to be on your unshaming journey is sometimes to be at a crossroads where you have to let people go. And it's so hard to do that. And it feels so resentful for me sometimes to let someone go and say, I'm so disappointed and I don't know how I could have allowed myself to, you know, condone this behavior for so long, but at the same time, how you turned out to be this way. And I think in some ways I'm probably a little bit bitter, and hearing you kind of talk about what it's like to be on the receiving end
but
of that,
that's so chill.
It humanizes it
too. Like, that's, I have so much anger and like rage when it comes to, like, I mean, you probably noticed it when I talk about toxic masculinity. Like, my worldview is very, like, when it comes to men, I really have a hard time making any excuses or like accommodations, which is not, it's not a great way to move forward when you're having these unshaming conversations. So I think it's like, yeah.
Well, let me hold you on for a second and say that anger is really important. And something that I've been learning lately is that anger is there to tell us that we are not being treated in the way we deserve to be treated. And I think it's the way that we engage with anger that can sometimes be a little bit dangerous. And it's sometimes is an emotion that we're not fully present with. It's so easy to misunderstand it. But I kind of want to take a moment to hold space for people who are angry and encourage folks who are experiencing that emotion to think about where it's coming from, because anger is information to
me. This is a whole, yeah, like you could do a whole other investigative podcast.
Chain of anger.
Yes, it is so valid, yeah, because, you know, particularly as women as well, like we're taught that anger is the worst possible thing you could feel and embody, and to be a woman who's vocalizing her anger, like you give up a lot of your agency in situations. So, yeah, but I think, I mean, the thing that we're both saying to each other is to just like be okay with how you've reacted, you know, yeah, like that's the core message.
It's, and
like,
be compassionate with yourself.
Yeah. Self-compassion is so difficult. Like if anyone has a fucking like cheat code for me to be able to be more self-compassionate, please send it through. Cause every week it changes for me. Like some weeks I'll listen to everything I say to myself when I do my like.
Bring that down to earth for a second. Tell us an example of that, just so it's relatable to people. Because I think I sometimes get caught up because I'm so deep into the literature and I'm researching it and I'm talking to people who are so far along their unshaming journey that sometimes I forget to make these concepts relatable and relevant to people that are just starting their unshaming journey. And those are folks that are really important too. So, you know, for people who are unfamiliar with what it means to be compassionate with yourself and sometimes what that dilemma looks like and what it feels like, tell us what that's like for you.
I'm a fat woman and I think that I don't deserve anything because I'm fat.
That's powerful just to even vocalize that.
Yeah. I mean, I can vocalize it.
I felt chills when you said that.
I can talk about this for hours, but this is one of my key unshaming journeys that I am on in my life. And it's the one that I struggle with the most. And it's like definitely how my own self-image of my body and how I view my own body in the world and like, you know, an extension of that, my own pleasure, my own right to joy, like all of these things that like, because I look a certain way, I think that I'm fundamentally not allowed to have, like, I'm not allowed to be happy. I'm not allowed to be joyful. With the compassionate self-talk, that is, I struggle so intensely with that when it comes to like bringing myself back down to a place of, to a baseline when I'm in those really nasty headspaces with like just being so mean to myself about how I look and like, you know, completely minimizing any of my other life achievements because I think that I'm ugly or I think that I like, you know, I'm unlovable or I think that, you know, all these like core things that I've embodied because of how I look, you know, and that's a belief that's deep in, like, it's going to take me years to unlearn that. I still, like, I have so much respect for people who, you know a lot about fat phobia. I have engaged with a lot of the, as you said, like the literature, and I've talked to a lot of people on my own podcast about diet culture and all that type of stuff. But it's the embodiment that really gets me. I get tripped up. And I cannot figure out that last final piece of like, okay, you understand it. Now, how do you make it feel good for you? I don't know.
How do you believe it?
How do you believe it? It's huge. I have no clue. Like, it's great for other people. You go, girl. You want to have body positivity and unlearn your shame? go for it. But like my brain still won't let it be okay for me to do that. So it's an ongoing process. Like it just takes a lot of time. I'm sure other people have struggled with this as well, like understanding things on an intellectual level, but then not being able to embody it or feel it. It's like one of the big mountains of my life for sure though.
And I think it's interesting because as a friend group, we all sort of turn to you when all of us are having issues around self-confidence and issues around security. I think it goes to show that no matter how many episodes I've done, no matter how many conversations I've had around this, everyone is ashamed of something. And we all live with that. And I think that if there's some sort of takeaway from this tidbit, it's like your strongest friends, check in on them. Make sure you're there for them.
Yeah. I mean, and just the understanding too, like it's the classic thing of like, you never know what someone's dealing with. Like, you know,
we idealize everyone in our society.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of these unshaming episodes is like, you get a real person being so candid and honest about one of the hardest things to talk about in their life. If those conversations are happening, that makes me want to do the same for myself, you know? So I really believe vulnerability is modeled. Like I am so much more likely to be vulnerable if like I'm watching someone brave do it before me. Like we could make a million connections back with this conversation. I feel like we've like gone in a million different places, but it's back to that like community, that chosen family, like those yes. safe fucking spaces where you feel like, you know, unshaming shouldn't be about you having to go out in the world and like unshame these things without any support or love. Like unshaming can be a simple process of just like finding people who align with you and then maybe edging into these conversations over a long, long time or whatever timeline is comfortable with you. I feel like I can't communicate enough the power of like unshaming when you have a safety network and you have like people around you to support you, because otherwise it feels like you're just floating out in space, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. So babe, should we do one last question?
Yeah. What's the question? Okay.
So I think both of us maybe answer, what is unshaming?
Wow.
To sort of round out the whole episode, because I guess we've been talking about that for a while, but if you could sum it up, really, what does it mean to you?
Unshaming is a worldview. I mean, it is so many things, but I think it begins as just like a lens to look at life through. Like it's a personal journey. It's a public journey. It's a way to move about the world and to be happier. Like I think unshaming, it makes you happier to engage in the work and to unshame and to have these conversations is a joyful experience. And I think that's the key to unshaming is happiness and love and belonging. That's what it is for me. What about you?
I think that it is an ongoing practice, actually. Mm. And I love your definition as well. And I think for everyone listening, you might have your own definition and you know, write to us and tell us what it means to you. But I think for me, it's an ongoing practice of striving toward a sense of safeness. And ultimately, I think that's what we're all looking for, is we're all looking to, we all just want to feel safe. We all want to put our guard down. We all want to be vulnerable because we're all looking for connection, real, genuine connection. We all just want to be seen. God damn, you know, for who we really are. And I think that's what unshaming is about. It's about striving for that sense of safeness and making life changes or, you know, adjusting your life in order to get to that space in your own time. And I think that for me, you have been such a huge part of that journey for me. I think the heart of a lot of these conversations that we have is unshaming. Going back to what we originally talked about, unshaming is it's friendship and it's love and it's connection with the people that you really feel spiritual with.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, we love you. We're sending love to you.
We love you so much.
We love you so bloody much. We just want to give you a big hug and squeeze you real
and
tight.
And I love you, Nicola.
I love so you, much. Jordan. Oh, gorgeous.
Well, everyone, Nicola, tell us where they can listen to Bad Behavior and where they can gobble up all of that delicious content
you so
that you guys are serving
not
up.
Say bad behavior in your Australian accent. I could tell. Bad Behavior is available on all streaming platforms. If you're into conversations that are taboo and difficult, done in a way with empathy and kindness, then please listen. We're an interview show and we interview really incredible people about things that we should all be talking about a bit more. Yeah, if you want to check us out, we'd be thoroughly appreciative.
Well, thank you, my love, for coming on the show and for giving us your perspective on what this really dynamic and complex concept even is. And, you know, I think it just, if I haven't said enough, you've been such a critical part of my unshaming journey. And I love you. I'm so lucky to have you in my life. And I'm so glad we could do this together.
I love you too.
I'm Jorgen Salvis, and you've been listening to Unshaming. For more information about anyone featured on the show, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Unshaming or visit unshamingpodcast.com. If you loved this episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love hearing from you. So if you have questions or want to tell us what you're unshaming, DM us on Instagram or email us at unshamingpodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Mirzi for generously providing her original music. You can find her wherever you stream. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.